Well, hello and welcome to our 89th episode of the Gutenberg Changelog podcast. In today's episode, we will talk about Gutenberg 16.6 and some community contributions, as well as features that are still in the works, but we wanted to highlight today. I'm your host, Birgit Pauliha, curator at the Gutenberg Times and WordPress developer advocate, and a full-time core contributor for the WordPress open source project. A special guest today is Nadia Maya Ardiani, contributor on the training team and WordCamp Asia. And that's where we met for a chat, a dinner, a lunch. And we did, yeah, it was just fabulous to meet Maya. And we always found a topic to talk about and to laugh as well. I'm so happy to you join me today to review the Gutenberg plugin release and connect about WordPress. So greetings to Indonesia. How are you today?
Thank you, Birgit, for having me. So it's a good to be here. And thank you as well for being the first WordPresser ever to be featured in Ostinger's WordPress Expert article series.
Oh, thank you for having me. Yeah. It was a fun interview. Yeah.
I think it's only fitting to start the series with one of the people who have been doing such significant contribution to the platform. And that's you.
So, oh, thank you. Yeah. So what else do you contribute to on WordPress?
Okay, so I'm a contributor on the training team. And in the team, I'm also a translator coordinator for Indonesian locale. And yeah, I love contributing for the training team because I enjoy sharing complex information in a more accessible way, making the knowledge more accessible for a wider audience, which is also related to my day job as a content writer in Hostinger. And yeah, in my day job, I write like WordPress tutorials in the form of WordPress like website articles and script for YouTube videos. And I also write about WordPress community activities like WordCamps and about WordPress journeys of awesome WordPress community members.
Oh, that's
like you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I know that another interview was with Michelle Frechette on the Experts series. Yeah. So great job there as well. It's really fabulous to kind of follow up on that. Yeah, I'm so glad we stayed in touch after WordCamp Asia. And you just returned from WordCamp US. So how was it and what are your takeaways for that?
So yeah, like it's my first WordCamp US. So it's like, yeah, it's like very, very new to me. I also volunteered this time and I didn't get to attend a lot of sessions, but it's always awesome to meet and have a chat with fellow WordPress enthusiasts because you don't get to meet them every day. And I think it's one of the WordCamp struggle, like to decide between attending the session or talking and catching up with everyone.
Yeah, I know. I have this every time that I kind of have my sessions checked off, yeah, to kind of say, this I want to do. And I put them in my calendar and then I'll stay in the moment with talking with somebody and then whoosh, the time is gone and I have to catch the live stream. Totally get it. Yeah. And for WordCamp US, there is a lot of FOMO that I had to endure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. And there are actually lots of interesting sessions, but as we know, we can just catch up with the sessions in WordPress YouTube channel or WordPress.tv. But yeah, I actually really want to see the one with NASA and the White House because we get to see WordPress implementation in those two websites. Because for me, it's like the most interesting thing about the session is we can see how WordPress is really for everyone because many of us in the end users, we think WordPress is only for hobbyists, but there's also, it's actually can be for big organizations like this that require very customized website and high level security.
So true. Yeah, the bandwidth is really broad. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you got to see that. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, I also really love about the Contributors Day because like, as always, it's the time for us to like work together with the people, with other contributors who we usually only met on screen. And So far, the WordCamp US is kind of unique because usually we all gathered in one room and in one big room, like all of the teams are gathering in the same place. But this time, teams which works closely related were spread in multiple rooms. I actually love the camaraderie of being in the same room as all contributors, but this time I also love it because there was no confusion about which table belongs to which team, and also like more space for like creating breakout room. For example, in training team, after onboarding the new team members, we can split into this is the people who interested to be content translator. This is for people who interested to be content creator. And also, since we training team is in the same room with the docs team, there we can discuss more about cross collaboration effort regarding how to better work together and with the backlink material and each other.
Oh, that's interesting. I can see that there's some overlap between the docs team and the training team. And yeah, the more we can streamline the processes between the two, I think the better it is for our for WordPress users to find the right material at the same at the right time. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for this report from WordCamp US and how you found it from a contributor point of view. Yeah, dear listeners, we have a one announcement that we wanted to share with you is about WordPress 6.4. So WordPress 6.4 is in less than 3 weeks away. WordPress 6.4 beta is only 3 weeks away. Don't get scared. The last Gutenberg version for features will be 16.7. Today we are talking about 16.6, so there's only one more Gutenberg plugin release to go. And release candidate for 16.7 is scheduled for September 20th. That's 1 week longer than the usual 2 week schedule. And so all the new features will need to be merged by that time. And after that, only bug fixes and fixes for blessed features can be added to the WordPress release. So it's the time to test all the Gutenberg plugins versions that go into it. Will be 16.2 all the way to 16.7, and whatever bug fixes come in 16.8 and 9. The final release, or the release for 6.4, is scheduled for November 7th, and so that's still about a month and a half away, 2 months away. So just so you get the timeline a little bit, we will repeat this on the next shows as well. When we next time is with Tammy Lister, she's on the editor tech lead, so we will have some more information about 16.4.
It's my first time to see how many improvements that come with one version of Gutenberg. So it's like, oh my God. So if we every time we release one version of WordPress, that must be like huge improvement. So by seeing the rundown, that's the first time I realized that how much is the improvements.
That's a change log, and that can be overwhelming indeed. And the last five versions kind of go into WordPress. So yes, so 16.2 and 3 had major jumps in improvements to the site editor and to the block editor. So especially because 6.3 and 6.4 kind of wrap up the phase two of site editing. 6.4 also will ship with the new default theme and amply named 2024. And it's also expected to be in early November together with the 6.4 release. The designs are already available, and you can kind of follow up on the introduction post on the Make WordPress Core website. We mentioned it on one of the previous episodes as well, but I really like to talk to you about Maya. You looked at it, and what do you think about the new theme?
As an end user, I'm really excited to use this theme because this one is aimed to be a multi-purpose theme, right? I saw three use cases in the Make WordPress website, one specifically tailored for entrepreneurs and small business, one for photographers and artists, and one for writers and bloggers. So it provides a better look into how the theme would look like when it is used to display lots of images, when it's used to show multiple chunks of text, and how it may look like as a landing page, which is so cool because I can instantly imagine, oh, this is the stuff that I can do with this theme. Since it's a collection of templates and patterns which combine into a theme, it's even cooler because the patterns included in it has various home templates for different use cases, such as about page, and then project overviews are SVPs. So yeah, it's basically very handy for no
Yeah.
code people because
Yeah.
we can just, yeah, I want to make this. I want to make this.
Yeah. I think that's exactly what you're saying, is that it gives you a vision of, or an inspiration of, what your website could look like when you use that theme, and then gives you all the tools. I like that it also thinks about, or the creators think about, the full page template, so you don't have to assemble all the things.
Yeah, it's very nice to don't have to create everything from scratch, because sometimes it can be intimidating to start from a pure blank slate like that. At least that's for no-code people like me. But yeah, but this one is, the default color and typography style are already versatile and very timeless. I mean, like, it gives professional and elegant flair in general with the understated color and the sans serif font variation. So it can be used for any many needs.
And with the site editor providing all the design tools, you can really make it your own in terms of the look and feel. And I really like that. I think it's the first default theme that's not very opinionated about the design, that is only for a niche or for a certain topic or so. It's more really, that is actually the purpose that you just said, is that many people can see themselves building with that theme. And I am really happy that that comes out of it also for you. Yeah, there is the Figma. I can share in the show notes. I'll share also the link to the Figma file where you can kind of browse the designs. It's right now in development. The report from the leads are Jessica Lischek and Maggie Cabrera. And they both were at WordCamp US Contributor Day, and they had about 31 contributors at the theme table who wanted to work on the theme. So there is some rapid development going on. And I will also share the GitHub repo link where it's all happening, with the issues and the PRs and everything, and where you can see all the discussions. The GitHub repo will, closer to release candidate, it will disappear, and then it will be on track, because that's just for development. Default themes are then housed with the core files on a track. Yes, in the repo. Yes, another community contribution gets you all the way from that no-code site builder, single site builder, private person, to all the way to the enterprise level of using WordPress. And there is a new guide for WordPress for Enterprise together. So where the major WordPress agencies that deal with enterprise clients, and there are BigByte and TenUp and Alley, HumanMade, ImSuid, and XWP. And they got together, and in WordCamp Europe as well, to think about, can WordPress be advertised or kind of shape the conversation with enterprise IT people and CEOs about using WordPress for content management system on their large-scale organizations. And they came together and created a free guide for WordPress for Enterprise. It highlights all the high-profile companies like the CNN, Vogue, Google, Spotify, the White House, and many more, and now NASA, and also responds to some of the misconceptions that are still out there, mainly the one that it's not secure, that it's only for blogging, and all that kind of thing. So it's a really good guide that you, as a small agency, can certainly also use in parts for talking to your clients and to your customers about things.
And I like it that this guide is easy to read, because sometimes, like, people from big enterprises are not really tech savvy. So having it with layman's term, it can like deliver the knowledge better to wider audience about the possibilities for creating a customized platform to fit any organization. And yeah, I check it. The chapters include discussion about platform security, scalability, internationalization, solution cost and value. Those are the stuff that enterprise really care about, right? I think it shows one of the beauty of the WordPress community. Everyone's coming together for it, both to constantly improve the platform and to share to others that this is a solution you can use. And it's really nice to see how these agencies provide insights related to aspects that are important for enterprises.
And I also like that they kind of highlight the open source part, which scares enterprise. Yeah, but the open source part, that there are hundreds of contributors that are actually maintaining the code and doing all the performance testing. Yeah, we have this awesome performance team that has brought down the load times of WordPress out of the box just for 6.3, around 20%, which is huge when you think of the millions and millions of websites that use WordPress. And I saw a statistic that already 50% of WordPress are now 6.3 installations. So the community has really reacted fast to the new versions, and that will also be for 6.4. So we will share, of course, the article from WP Tavern that talks about it. We also share the blog post about it and with the link to download it. You don't need an email address to download it. So it's all free out there for you to use and to contemplate. Yes. Which brings us to the section, what's released. And right now it's we're talking about Gutenberg 16.6 that was released earlier this week. And Vincente Canales was the release manager for this. And in his release post, he shared the changelog and as well as some highlighted things. And we follow suit, of course. And the first thing that we wanted, most of it, there's not really some big stuff coming in 16.6, but it was some great quality of life changes that make working in it much smoother and less confusing and more consistent together. But there are a few highlights that we wanted to you to know about. So the first one is, it says, I needed to read through the PRs and look at the videos to try it out myself to actually know what it means. So it says capture toolbars in the quote block or navigation block. What it means is that the toolbars for child blocks or inner blocks are now seamless attached to their parent block. So, and offering a more intuitive and organized editing experience. They don't jump around that much, which kind of is sometimes a little disconcerting and distracts you from the work that you actually wanted to do. Right now, they are in place for the navigation block, the list block, and the quote block.
Yeah, I think this one kind of make publishing experience way more enjoyable, because sometimes you just move a little and the block will follow through, like, oh my God, can you just stay right there? And I publish articles in daily basis, but it's only recently that I discovered the top toolbar feature that we can activate by clicking, what's it, the name?
The options.
In the right panel.
Yeah.
The block toolbar can be annoying sometimes. So having this improvement, capture toolbars, this will be, and making the toolbar staying at the same nearby spot like this, I will definitely prefer this one.
Yeah, me too. I found that some users are actually struggling with the concept that depending on which block is focused, that they have a different toolbar from the parent block. And to get to the parent block, you have to know that you need to click on that one left, the leftmost kind of button to get to the parent block again. And I think I haven't found a better way to get to it, to kind of imagine a better UI for that. But I think with tying the both toolbars together and just switch in place and not also move it, it's a much better experience. Yes, definitely. Another one is that for the query pagination block, it was that you only had one or two The pagination block is the block that you have underneath your loop block or the query loop, where it says, okay, get me next pages from that query, from that loop of the next pages of articles. And when you look at it, there were only two. You only saw the first one, the first two ones, and then the last two ones, but you couldn't click to, if you say, the third one or the fourth page, because you knew it was things on there. You had to click on next, next, next to, you didn't find a. And now a user can determine how those numbers in the navigation, in the pagination block, are actually organized. Yeah, you can say, okay, give me four numbers in between. So, and that's a really good improvement, considering that that was possible before in the classic theme, very much so. But this is kind of getting it all feature parity, and it really is a good improvement. It's such a small thing, you would think, but navigating a list of posts deeper into it, yeah, not just the first page, sometimes is really needs some support, some better support there.
Sometimes for like things that at the front end it seems like a very simple change, but I believe that under the hood that there's must be many things going on, right?
Yeah, and then now you have in the sidebar, you have additional fields where you can put in numbers and some more explanation if my explanation wasn't helpful at all. Yeah, so and the next part is that the list view now has a keyboard shortcut for duplicating blocks. So if you are working through the list view by keyboard and you now don't need to change controls to duplicate a block, you can just use Command Shift and D, and then that block that was just focused is duplicated. This definitely helps with rapid content creation and laying out some articles.
Yeah, as a content writer, I definitely agree with this one. This will be like a very time saving.
Super, yeah. 16.6 Gutenberg also adds a custom taxonomy for user-created patterns. So 6.3, WebPress 6.3 came with the feature that you now could create patterns, synced and unsynced patterns. But if you have three or four or 15 of those, yeah, it was hard to kind of take to sort through them. So now you can use some taxonomy labels for your creative patterns, so you can give other editors on your site a little bit more help with what are those patterns that Birgit created, and now you can help them to be a little bit more organized there.
So this can be for the synced and unsynced patterns, right?
Yes.
Yeah, this will be, yeah, like having a feature to organize it, it definitely will be beneficial for the content creators also, because we can easily choose which one we want to use.
Yeah, and you can drill down because I can see that that an organization has created at least 10, 20 kind of patterns, depending on how they different contents they provide. But and the beauty of it is it's actually based on the default taxonomy patterns, not patterns, API that comes with WordPress, because the patterns are custom post type. So the built-in taxonomy is now just surfacing on the editor. There was not a whole lot of, there was development being done just to make it into the site editor, but the underlying backend was already there. So it's good to have a fallback like that. So now we're coming to the bug fixes, and there's just a few that we wanted to point out. Maybe just one. No, maybe two or so. Do you want to take that?
Okay, so for the bug fixes, I like this one about the post navigation link, which is the remove unnecessary space between arrows and label. I think for some end users, this might look like a very simple improvement that almost unseen, but I believe for those who work around design a lot will be happy with this. Like, finally, I already feel it some time ago, because it's only like a very tiny character, isn't it? Like the space between the arrows and labels, but once it removes it, it's like, yeah, this is how it should look.
Yeah, it gives you a consistent look, and so really good that that's fixed now. And then also for the block styles, there's the preview of
Oh.
the popover is now working also with right to left sites.
Yeah, I think this is also one of the great examples of a form of striving for inclusivity and equality in WordPress because it makes a site building experience equal for everyone, whatever language you use, including the right to left languages like this. So when your site using the right to left languages, you will have the exact same experience as everyone in the world.
Yes, and sometimes that kind of falls a little bit through the cracks. So some head bubble for those who record those issues on the GitHub repo, so they can be fixed if they are not working right. In the site editor, there's one bug fix.
About the unify the delete button style in the drop-down menu with and making it red. So I think it's also a nice improvement, especially for end users who still learn to use WordPress for the first time, because it's easier to tell the effect of clicking this button. Like when you see it, like previously it's blue, so people might just, okay, I will just try to delete this, and turns out it delete all the stuff that they actually don't want to delete. But by making it red, it's like making, I think it's like related to psychology of color. People can be more considerate when hovering over this button. This one will do a significant effect to my content.
Yeah,
So
it's kind
yeah.
of stop, think
Oh,
what you're doing.
what is it?
Yeah,
Yeah. Oh, what is
yeah,
it? It's red. I will
it's red.
avoid doing something with this because I mean it can avoid like accidental deletion.
Yeah, and that's part of the really the small changes that have big outcomes. So the 16 Gutenberg 16.6 also brings a new feature, new API, and that's called block hooks. It was introduced one or two Gutenberg versions earlier and labeled as auto inserting blocks, and the PRs that are accompanying it are still referring to that. But it's on activation. Plugins now can have the capability to auto insert blocks, enhancing the integration and automation between the plugins and the Gutenberg editor. So the examples that you see in the PRs, and I would recommend to look through the PRs to kind of see how it all works. And the change log has the list of the PRs in there. So what is it used for? And I think we talked with Ellen about it, Ellen Bauer, on the previous episode about it. So you can add a like button to a comment section or a card icon to the header with this API. And any other things that you want to add to a block that's automatically added for the user. The user now also has with the they created now the block inspector panel and have a plugin section there. So it identifies the plugin that added a block, and you can toggle the appearance or disappearance of it on your templates and on your posts. So depending on what the use case is for this plugin that you installed on your site. So this is a very much expands the capabilities of the block editor for plugin developers outside of adding custom blocks or adding additional features in the sidebar. Now you can add a few content as well. So this is a really good new feature, and it will come to 6.4. It definitely needs some major testing. So if you are having a test site and you want to check it out, and yeah, please report back on what your findings are and if you tripped up by things.
So the here in the PR, the example is login, log out, cart and checkout, but it will be different for each plugins or for different plugins.
So there's an API where you
Yeah.
can, where a plugin developer can say, okay, I want this content or this particular feature added to a columns block or to a paragraph block, like just a, for instance, just an anchor link, yeah, to every paragraph. You can kind of write a plugin and say, okay, for each plugin, for each paragraph, add this anchor link on the right-hand side. And then a user can install that plugin and then automatically has that on their blog. and can now reference certain paragraphs. So some people do blogging more like a diary, yeah, where they have all the thoughts of a day in this in little paragraphs or in a cluster of paragraphs, and say, okay, today I wrote also about my adventure of riding the bike down the hill on a certain hill, and then want to link to that through Twitter or through Instagram, because there's also a picture to it. So you can go back to the blog and read a little bit about it. So that's one tiny use case. Another one is, as I said, the like button for comments. Normally, comments don't come with like buttons, but you can build a plugin that says, okay, every comment gets a like button for me, and I want it at the top of it or on the bottom of it. And that's all in the API controls. And then when it's installed and a user wants to use it, can also say, for this paragraph, I want to toggle in and off. I want to disable that particular added block for this particular paragraph, and then for the next or block, and then for the next block, I want it again. So it's kind of a beginning of a new interface or a new way to customize the block editor.
Awesome.
Speaking of development, 6.3 brought a few hiccups to the surface that with the enqueuing of assets in the editor and the CSS, and Nick Jago updated the documentation to an how-to guide to enqueue assets in the editor and best practice, or how it's actually supposed to work, especially now with the iframed editor in the post editor as well. There were some early adopters of the block editor created a few workarounds, the early restrictions that were there. And now with 6.3 or the iframing of the post editor, some of those don't work anymore as one would hope. So here's a how-to guide on how to enqueue assets in the editor after 6.3.
So this how-to guide is targeted for developers or like for everyone who wants to learn about Gutenberg in general can also try to learn this.
Oh yeah, sure. It's a website, so the website doesn't know who's coming in. So it's on the developer. The link goes right now to the Gutenberg repo where the page is, but I will share the link in the show notes where the actual documentation page was created. So it's in the realm of the other documentation of the block editor. Yeah, it's definitely helpful when you start out thinking about your theme development or your plugin development, and you have additional assets like JavaScript files, CSS files to go with those entities, and how to do it to control your iframed editor. There has also been an update on block variation on the block variations API. And that has been block variations have been around for the big since the beginning of the block editor, where you can modify in a core block that then add additional feature set or styles or just kind of different behavior to it. And the block variations API had been updated, but this goes well with a new article on the developer blog called An Introduction to Block Variations, where Nick Diego walks you through certain use cases on how to use it. So how to create a block variation, how to unregister. So you could use the block variation. So if a simple example is you have a button, you want the button to have a certain style, you can certainly do this through the theme, but you can also say, okay, I want to unregister the core button, and I want my block variations for the core button to be the default. So it shows up in the inserter as a core button, but it will always have the right color on the border or the background or the right font size that you have decided on the design of it. And the user doesn't have to select between the two, they just have one. Same could be with a quote block or a verse block. Yeah, so you can kind of really have quite a few methods to and attributes that you can use to create those block variations. Yeah, I learned quite a bit from the article. So
No, I just wanted to say that this resource is pretty comprehensive. We can learn many stuff about the block variations from the basic to the putting it all together and everything. We can check it here. So yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it also helps you how to control the icons for it, or how the sidebar is behaving. So yes, it's a really good article. All the articles on the developer blog, that's actually a very rather new entity on the WordPress.org site. It only has been around for 8 months, give or take. Official launch was actually in March, so it's only been around for 5 months officially, but we started in November with it. And there are quite a few blog posts now that are tutorials and go a little bit deeper on then documentation, help you picks up the developer from a different place, from a beginner place, and go all the way to advanced, or say, okay, yeah, this is your use case. Yeah, there are a series of blog posts as well as standalone posts. And you can also learn about the slot fields. What's slot fields? Well, it's the spaces in the sidebar of a block where you can add additional features, fields, and all that. So the developer blog is definitely something to check out if you are a dev developer and extending the block editor. And yeah, this concludes the change log for 16.6. We are through that. And as I said at the beginning, we also wanted to discuss a few things, or two things, no, actually three, that are in active development. And the first one is a big feature that is announced, slated for 6.4. The contributors have been working on it for quite a while, almost a whole year, to get fund management into WordPress, meaning upload funds, make them available for blocks, make them available for templates, and then also delete funds and have them across themes. So you are not depending on a theme developer to provide you with the right fonts. You can, as a site owner, also make different choices there. And I will share with you a link to a PR that kind of puts it all together, how it all works. And Jeffrey Pierce also just made a call for testing on Twitter, where he provided a link to a WordPress playground site with the configuration to test this successfully already in place, because you need to make changes to the wp-config file, and then you need to enable the plugin for it and the experiment for it and all that. So there's kind of a setup manually to be done, but this link to the WordPress playground gives you the PR, or the version of Gutenberg that has the PR in it, as well as the right setup. And then you can test it. You can upload fonts, you make them available through the interface. You can use them on pages, on posts, and on templates, and see if the font on front end and editor actually would display correctly. Yeah. So, and anything that you find that's not working right, report that back to the PR, so they can go and fix it once it's merged. So right now the PRs are still in the works, and a lot of people are testing it, but it could use some more testing. If you listen to this and the PR has already been merged, it will be available through the Gutenberg Nightly plugin version that you get on the Gutenberg Times. So, and then you can start testing it on your normal, like any Gutenberg plugin version on your test site. And my favorite tool for testing is actually Local WP from the WP Engine and Flywheel folks. That has been a tremendous help to go through all those testing. So font library is a big, big step forward for WordPress, and any help you can give to testing it would be really appreciated.
So we can also use font library in Playground.
Yeah, with the link, that the link is a bit.ly link. It's shortened because it's actually 15 lines long. It's bit.ly forward slash text dash font dash library, and then it gives you a new WordPress site, and then you can use it and test it. You cannot install other plugins there. You cannot install themes. So you would have to test it with the default theme 2023. And the second part, it's only two things, is a lot of people, especially content creators, are really, we're really waiting for this. It's the adding a background image to a group block. It's coming. It's already available in the Gutenberg Nightly because the feature has already been merged with Trunk. It will be released with 16.7 Gutenberg plugin. And if you can provide user feedback, that would be really great. And if the provided user feedback doesn't reveal any big issues with that new feature, it will also arrive in WordPress 6.4 with the next upgrade on November 7th, 2023. How do you like that, Maya?
I will definitely using this. I mean, I can see myself using this. I don't know for my company, for my day job, I don't know about that, but for my so I have a website that is like just to play around, like my test site. I really like it. So I think I will definitely use this because it's like, yeah, adding more creativity fuel to my toolkit. So yeah.
I can see that there are some very, very subtle backgrounds that could happen on different paragraphs, like a like wallpaper in a house or something like that. Yeah, where you can change that for a different group of posts or for yeah, if you wrap a quote post into a group block, then you can add a background image to it, and that background image could have a photo of the person who gives the quote. Yeah, so you have a better, you don't have to use backgrounds and kind of fiddle around with all the blocks. You can just put it on a background image and then upload that to the quote block. And yeah, I really like it. So we're at the end of the show. I just wanted to make sure people, when they want to connect with you, what would be a good place to meet you online, Maya?
So I'm on Twitter and also I'm on Instagram. So yeah, I think I will, oh, and on LinkedIn also, so in three places. So yeah, I will share the link to you so we can put it in the show notes.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much. As always, the show notes will be published on gutenbergtimes.com/podcast. And this is the episode 89. And if you have questions, suggestions, or news that you want us to include, send them to changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. That's changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. And there was a time when we had quite a few people add reviews about the podcast on different podcast websites like Stitcher or Apple or Google. Yeah, it would be time to do another round of reviews. If you like what you hear and get value out of this podcast, please submit a review to Apple. That's probably the most prominent one, to iTunes or podcast. And that would be really lovely. And as a bonus, we will read them in our next show. So, yeah, come on. Come on then.
Give a
Yeah.
little shout out.
Give a little shout out. Yeah. So, Maya, thank you so much for joining me today. It was lovely to have you on the show and give your input and have opinions will travel. That's always beneficial in WordPress. Yeah. And I thank you all for listening. And I'll hear you in 2 weeks. We won't have a 16.7 then, but we will have Tammy Lister on the show and we will talk about WordPress 6.4 and the whole process. And I wish you all well. Take care and goodbye.
Thank you, Birgit. The pleasure is all mine.
Thank you.